Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here today. I'm glad that you've chosen to be with us here at Calvary Christian this beautiful Lord's Day morning. I'm going to tell you something, and some of you may have already heard this, know somewhat about this, but I have a bit of a reputation in my family, at least, of being somewhat of a handyman. They've gathered that based upon the fact that I have been able to repair a few things that have been broken or faulty, not working properly. I have been able to do that with a few things. And they've seen that. They've witnessed that. And I am a person who can, for the most part, take a part that's broken or malfunctioning and replace it with a new part, providing I can get to that part to replace that part. Sometimes I have to take apart a part to get to a part that's within the part that's not working to replace that with a new functioning part and put it back together. And yes, sometimes I can do that. Are you following me? Sometimes I can do that. But yet, one thing I just confess I'm not capable of doing is restoration of things. You know, making them just like new. I may be able to make them function. They may even look like new, work kind of like new, or seem to, but it's not really like making them like new, restoring them to original. I'm not really able to do that. I don't have that skill. There are people who do to some level. If you want a, say, a painting or a photograph restored, there are people you can take them to. You can take those to them, and I mean, they can do a phenomenal job restoring it to look just like it did before, or sometimes even better than it probably did before. There are those who can restore videos now. Do an incredible job with that. You know, they can take an old, like, Super 8 film. Anybody remember what those were? You know, and they can digitize it, and they can and colorize it and change it to HD quality. I mean, it's phenomenal what some of them can do in restoring those visual images, the video. It's incredible what they can do. Some people can restore furniture back to its original or sometimes even looks like it's better than original condition, not just with a little bit of putty and paint and glue, but I mean actually doing something to it. For some reason, the restoring I do with some of that stuff with duct tape and just super glue doesn't, you know, pass the test in the minds of folks when they're really looking for restoration. When it comes to automobile restoration, oh my goodness, there are some people who really can do such a fantastic job, you can't even tell, you know, with a discerning eye that they've made a repair, that they've covered the rust, they've painted over it, they've done the Bondo work. I mean, it's so smooth and glossed, and there's no, you don't even see the overspray. Now, it looks fantastic, like it's just come off the showroom floor. It's amazing what some people can do with those things. So, yes, if you want to restore some furniture, there's people you can take it to. You want to restore automobiles, people you can take it to. Want to restore, you know, photos, videos, someplace you can take it to. But I want you to look at Psalm 23 with me, and many of you could probably just quote it with me as we talk about the kind of restoration, though, that only Jesus can do. In Psalm 23, also known as the Shepherd's Psalm, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Highlighting verse 3, what's it say? He restoreth my soul. The word restore there, again, that idea of bringing back or returning to a previous and really a perfect condition. Again, it's the idea of it being unimpaired. It's the idea of it being made like new, built again. Possibly even in some cases like restitution being done if something's taken away or lost, that idea of restoring. I pointed out a few weeks ago, the repeated theme in Psalm 23 is following the Lord's leading. Too often, I believe we want the benefits and the blessings of doing that without actually doing that. Now, pardon the pun, but that reasoning just doesn't follow. The blessings don't follow if you don't follow. Because that's the idea, right? That he leads me, he guides me, he does that. And as I follow him, what's it say? Goodness and mercy follow me. And I find these green pastures, I find these still waters, I find this restoration, not just of good things, but of my soul, my very soul. Our theme song this month is Build My Life. And the message in the lyrics is really about that. Recognize that only in returning to God can we have any hope of restoration and of then being able to build the kind of life he intends for us to have and that we really do long for. Trusting in the firm foundation, see, of his love and resting in his power to keep his promises. That's not just a key to restoration. It's the key that opens the door into that reality. It's the key. Again, if you want things restored, you take them to those who can do the restoration work. But when it comes to the restoration of the soul, where can we go? As the old hymn asks, where can I go but to the Lord? Where can you go? Only to him. Only him. Why is that? Well, think about it. We were created to live in a relationship with our Creator. No wonder our souls can't find rest apart from him. As I pondered that, I could hear the Spirit's whisper emphasizing the first syllable in that word restoration. Think about it. Restoration. Restoration. Next time you're feeling restless, ask yourself if God may be calling you to abandon what you've been doing or what you're stressed out about and come to him for restoration. We know there's a problem when symptoms are treated without ever addressing the cause, don't we? Whether it's physical issues or whether it's relationship issues, whether it's mental issues, whether it's emotional issues, treating just the symptoms doesn't work. Our souls are sin sick. They are. And only the great physician can heal us. Some don't want to hear that. Some don't believe that. They don't believe there is such a thing as sin, let alone that our souls can be affected by that sin. But it is true. Only the great physician can restore the soul, can heal the soul, can make the soul whole again. Remember Jesus' invitation in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Sound familiar? He goes on to say, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How can he make such a promise that if we come to him, he could restore our souls? He could give us rest for our souls. How could he make such a promise? He is the good shepherd, isn't he? Who can restore? Who specializes in restoration of souls? See, because the truth is, we can't restore ourselves no matter how hard we try. No matter how many self-improvement classes we take, books we read, little practices we get involved in, support groups we have, we look for other people to help us with that. And don't misunderstand me. There are people who can help us on the journey if they will seek God's help to help us. But apart from that, no. The Hebrew writer gives a history lesson to emphasize this in chapter 4. Speaking of the children of Israel's disbelief that barred them from the land of promise, he writes in verse 2 and following, "We also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest." What rest? What rest? Well, reading on it says, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his work, that work in creation. Let us therefore make every effort to enter what? That rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience." Now, obviously, the Hebrew writer is doing something here. He's using the term gospel that was preached to them and preached to us. And it doesn't mean precisely the same thing to us so often. What is it to think about gospel? What do we think? What's the good news? That Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That God so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life, eternal life. But again, that can't be what gospel meant to them, because that was thousands of years before Christ. Yet it refers to this idea of timeless good news, that God has always wanted better for us than we could ever do for ourselves. The Israelites didn't really buy that, so they didn't respond to his invitation to cross into the land of milk and honey. They didn't believe God could fulfill his promises to them. I wonder how much a lack of faith might keep us from enjoying the rest that he promises today. Now, so many of us don't experience the restoration of our souls that he desires for us to have because we just don't believe that he can really do that. See, faith in the truth that the Good Shepherd really does provide rest for the soul will draw us to him. As long as we think it can be found elsewhere, we keep exhausting ourselves in our own efforts to restore what only God can. But when it comes to the restoration of the soul, see, again, once more, self-improvement is not an option. Unless we mean by that self-surrendering to God. As we talked about a few weeks ago, is one of the fruit of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit, is self-control. But that's not really about us controlling self. It's about us giving control of self over to God. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. We have to come to rest on him. Ever watched a bird fly overhead? And it soars and a beautiful thing, but eventually it comes to rest. It has to come to rest. We may wander and soar around and we're seeking things everywhere else, but eventually we have to come to rest in God, in the Lord, in our shepherd. No wonder God in his wisdom ordained, he even ordered it, weekly rest for his people, that Sabbath rest. Of course, unless the Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord, our shepherd, we're not going to find rest any day of the week, let alone for eternity. How many of you today could use some rest? I'm not talking just about physical rest, because I can see some hands going up. You know, wow, some heads nodding. Yeah, you need some rest. Boy, I just need a break today. Man, I'm just so worn out. I'm physically exhausted. I'm tired. I just need some rest. Well, that's one thing. It's important that you get that. We need that. But I'm talking about more than that. The psalmist was talking about more than that. Rest for the soul. But sometimes we've got to come to rest before we can experience that restoration. Rest from the burden of guilt and condemnation. Rest from the worries and anxieties of life. Rest from the constant pressures of trying to succeed at something we weren't even designed to do. Someone said that release is the key to restoration. that we can't even rest. Think about it. On vacation without temporarily releasing responsibility for our jobs. How many of you know that? That's true. You got to kind of release it, or sometimes, you know, shut down, turn off all the devices and whatever, just to get and to be able to really find rest. You have to release responsibility. In a similar vein, see, we have to release our fears, our cares, our concerns, our ambitions to God. Realizing, you know what, I can't do this. I can't do it anyway. I can't do anything about it anyway. I can't, and trying to just wears me out. True rest can be found only in the Good Shepherd. When we find rest in Him, we begin to find restoration of the soul. And only then. So I urge you today, I plead with you today, if you are worn out from trying, exhausted from trying to find this release and relief and rest and peace and joy that only can be found in Him, then stop striving and just start following the Shepherd. He'll lead you to a place of rest, and He'll restore the soul. As He restores the relationship that's been broken and shattered, destroyed by our sin, by our washing away the sin and bringing us to Himself, restoring us into fellowship with the Father through the Spirit. If we can help you, let us know.